We're starting a series, or started last week a series, on laments. But more than just on laments, more about praying to God in the midst of a crisis. Praying when you're emotionally or physically wrung out, where it seems like the psalmist, God has closed the door. You feel like God's missing. Many of us have been through times in our lives when we feel that way. So what I wanted to do is do a short series of messages on praying through that kind of crisis and what that means and what that looks like in different ways. We see lots of psalms of lament or complaint in the Psalms. Psalms in the Psalms. Good place for them to be, right? We see a lot of these prayers in the Psalms, and but they're elsewhere too. When people complain about God because they're upset, sometimes they're upset because of something they did, right? They're mad at themselves, and therefore they become mad at God. We're going to talk about Jonah today. For many of us, we react differently in times of crisis, in times of emotional. Some of us lash out to God and get angry at God because we're mad. We don't like the situation. We feel it's God's fault that something has happened. But some of us turn it inward, and we're uncomfortable being upset with God. And we turn it inward and feel guilty because we did something, or we blame ourselves, or there's something we did wrong that we're being punished for that we want to try to vindicate. What I want us to look at as we go through these different examples over the next few weeks is I'm trying to get across a simple point. There really isn't a wrong way to talk to God. Because one of the things you'll see in all of the Psalms of lament and all of these prayers of complaining, there comes a moment when the prayer changes. What we have is the record that God came along. Somewhere in the midst of the anger, the emotional distress, the presence of God comes in. And it's my belief that we need to keep those lines of communication with God open, even if we don't like God at that particular moment. We need to keep those lines of communication open. And even if we think we're being heretical and we shouldn't be angry at God, but if we keep our lines of communication open, it's a much easier way for God to drop God's gift into our lives. God is big enough to handle any emotional outburst you have. Trust me. God created our emotions. Many of us have been trained over the years, though, that we can't be angry at God. I think it's okay. Just tell God how you feel, because God knows it anyway. You can't hide it. It allows God to be God, and it allows God to maybe find a way that no one knew was there to enter in and bring that gift of God's presence and God's peace at this difficult time. There's a definition of poetry by Wordsworth in the preface to Lyrical Ballads. He says that poetry is emotion recollected in tranquility. All that means is the poet sits down at a quiet afternoon under a tree and remembers what it felt like at a certain time. And I think that's what we get in some of these laments in the Psalms and in this prayer that we just read of Jonah. not sure it's exactly what happened, but when Jonah sat down in quiet, or whoever wrote the book, sat down in quiet and recollected what happened, or when the psalmist sat down after this experience of being alone, because I'm pretty sure on a night when I was too distressed to pray and my arms were lifted up and I was yelling at God, I would not quite have been as eloquent as this psalm is. But I believe that these folks experienced this kind of deep anguish. But when they recollected it later, when times were calmer, they were able to spell it out for us in a way that would help us. The book of Jonah begins with Jonah's call. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's the way the book starts. It's a famous book starting, kind of like Call Me Ishmael, right? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. You know, maybe prophets like Jonah were used to the word of the Lord coming to visit, but if the word of the Lord knocked on my door, I might freak out just a little bit. But you got to figure Jonah was just hanging out. Maybe watching the Cowboy game, flicking back and forth to the stars. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord says, "Arise, go to Nineveh. And I want you to preach against Nineveh and the people in it." Jonah sat there for a moment. Now, you got to realize that Nineveh would be like... let me think. Maybe New York City in the 80s, right in the middle of the crack epidemic and lawlessness, or maybe like Juarez right now, where there's double-digit murders every week. It was not a really nice place to be. And God is inviting Jonah very nicely to get up and go preach in this town and hold a revival. Jonah very politely stands, excuses himself, and runs out the back door. Books passage on the ship going to the farthest place that he can find. It'd be kind of like us wanting to get a ship to the end of the world, because that's what he did. He jumped on a boat and said, "Get me the heck out of here. I left the word of the Lord standing on my front porch, and I don't have a lot of time, so let's get going." But Jonah found out that he couldn't run from God. So as he's sleeping, big storm comes up, big enough that all the sailors think they're going to die. I always thought this was kind of cool. In the middle of the storm, they decide to gamble to figure out who's the root problem of the storm. So they cast lots to figure out who it was that was causing the problem, okay? Who's going to draw the short straw? Because whoever it is, we're going to throw you into the ocean. So they all go and nobody's it. They wake up Jonah. Jonah draws a straw and, yep, it's his fault. And he says, "Yep, I'm the one. I'm running from God, so throw me into the water." And they do. And immediately the storm stops. It's crazy. Made believers out of all the sailors because they all turned to God. But Jonah was left thrashing about in the waves and started to sink. And then, thinking he's going to drown, he's swallowed by a big fish. Went from bad to worse, from frying pan to fire. It's hard to imagine, even in the ancient world, describing a more desolate, isolated place, right? Inside the belly of a whale swimming underneath water, and that's where we find Jonah. I can't help it, but I always picture Jiminy Cricket in there with him, but that's just me. But pretty sure it wasn't like that. But while he's there, Jonah prays this prayer. And it starts out with him blaming God. You know the story. He just ran away. But he blames God. He said, God, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the currents swirled around me, and it's your waves and your breakers, they're the ones that are putting me into this trouble. Whether he believed that or not, he was mad. He was mad at somebody, probably himself, but it's okay. He was mad, and he was blaming God. Throughout the prayer, you can see Jonah's frustration begin and his anger just build up. The engulfing waters, they threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I love that image. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. But then, when my life was ebbing away from me, I remembered you. Then he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Somehow, I don't think the guy really in that situation said that at that particular moment, because that sounds like something you would think about later when you look back on it and say, yeah, you know, this is a good thing to remember. But here's what that means. Is somewhere in that process, somewhere when Jonah is fiercely emotional, probably feeling guilty for what he's done, probably just angry that he's made bad choices, he's lashing out at God. And that's where God meets him. Because when it was all starting to go away, Jonah doesn't say he knew God was going to fix it. He didn't say that everything was going to be rosy and sunny. He said, that's where I remembered you. That's where we remember we're not alone. As Jonah encounters God, his cries of anger turn into a vow of trust. His prayer begins to change from the concentration on himself and his own problem to a rediscovery of the source of everything that is. That last line, those that cling to worthless idols, that's ourselves. We cling to that vision we can have, only the path we can see. We cling to what we know, instead of turning to the limitless possibilities of God's grace. Sometimes we have to use those emotions that we have in a healthy way, let them come out to God. Because it's when we can do that and get past that, get that moment through, that we can receive that gift of grace that says, look beyond yourself. Look to me, because I'm here. I'm right here with you. I'm sure there are times in all of our lives when we feel that we are sunk down to the roots of the mountains, times when escape beyond the reality that's right in front of us seems impossible, times when we've done everything we can human possibly do, and the situation hasn't changed. There are times when we feel like God has shut the door. But these are the times when we have to keep talking to God, even if what we say isn't very nice. Because when we do, in that very process of talking to God, we are turning away from ourselves. We are turning away from the idol of our own self-sufficiency and turning toward the limitless possibilities of God's grace. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.